Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? We started off last week shaking the Monday morning blues as we talked about the second annual Breaking the Yoke Conference. Yes, the women's conference that we had here in Jamaica, Queens. And oh my, I really hope you were a part of the recap and you were not just hearing about it for the first time. We had the most dynamic speakers, the most phenomenal guests. We had some fantastic activities. Oh my goodness. What can we say about it? You're going to have to go back and listen to the reviews, yes, from those who attended, from those who participated. Oh, nothing like it you've ever experienced. So make sure you go back and listen. Now, we did not have a switch tip because we were so caught up in the festivities, the post-festivities, that we didn't have a switch tip last week. So I hope that, again, you were listening and you could have gotten all of the goodies. And, you know, starting this week, we're going to be posting videos, yep, from the actual event. We're going to be showcasing one by one, two by two, all of the activities that went on from the event. So stay tuned, okay, because as they post, I will be letting you know. I'll be making that announcement, okay? All righty. Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday Church Folk Day rolled around, and we got to talking about Donald Trump and his Christian conservative group as he made this speech that said, come on, all you got to do is come out and vote for me, and you will never have to ever worry about it again. And we discussed what that could have possibly meant. And, well, we can only come to one conclusion. He's talking about a dictatorship. Once he gets up in there, He's not planning on releasing that seat to anybody going further. Now, I'm not going to say that he's going to have that kind of power where he's not going to be able to, he's not going to have to get up out of there. But I think, yeah, we're going to be stuck with him for a couple of minutes. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be easy getting him up out of that chair. So those of you who were considering not voting, well, I want to let you know that may not be a good idea. Because, see, we're not voting out of frustration. And they're going to vote because they're anticipating that we're frustrated and we won't vote. And because of that, that's how all of these plans can be made to get up in there and not have to get up out of there. Yeah. So get ready. Pay attention. Listen to the debates. Do your homework. Study. And get a candidate to vote for. Okay? All righty. Well, while Wednesday rolled along and we got to talking to our girlfriend Vivian and her socially conscious segment, and it was some kind of day. As we got started, we talked about the Ford car company who's trying to patent cars that can use a special monitor that will monitor other cars' speed. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine that? We don't have to worry about some car that's going by us and we're like, well, where are the cops? Well, this particular car will definitely notify the police. Yeah, that's what the plans are. That's what the plans are. Well, we also heard about the New York woman who considers, yeah, she's thinking about some legal action when her daughter found splattered blood in her food. Yes. Come to find out that there was a worker in Burger King who cut his finger and bled through the glove he was wearing. And instead of stopping, he kept going, making the food. And the blood got in the food. So please, people, check your food before you eat it. I know. What is this world coming to, right? What is this world coming to? Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and we got to talking about covetousness and all of the small things that happen that are really big things that really lead to covetousness. And we talked about the fact that discontentment will lead to covetousness. We talked about distractions that can lead to covetousness. We talked about misguided ambition. I think that's one of the biggest ways that slides past us. Yeah. You know, people think that, you know, they're on the right track. People think that they've chosen properly. People think that they're focused, but nah, that ain't happening. Yeah, so make sure you don't go down the rabbit hole and end up being covetous, okay? All right. Well, Freestyle Friday was here before we knew it, and we talked about things that you need to look for in a man, ladies. Yes. And we really can kind of push that over to the mail department, you know, because it's pretty much the same thing. Yeah, you know, we get distracted on this journey of looking for someone, and we don't pay attention to little signs. And before you know it, we're involved with people who we really don't need to be involved with. So we had our men, yep, our men, tell us the things that you need to look for when you first meet him. Yeah. And then, men, you can convert that into the things you need to look for when you meet her. Yep. These are some of the first things you need to pay attention to. And these are some of the things that when we don't pay attention to this stuff, before you know it, you're deep in a relationship and, hey, you don't even have what you need anymore. What you're looking for anymore. Because now you're in love and you're in la-la land. Yeah, so we tried to help you. We tried to help you. So make sure you go back and listen. Yep. Make sure you go back and listen to all of the days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and see how it may change your life. Yeah, that's what I said. It may change your life. You never know. Little things make the difference. Okay? Okay. Well, today is Shaking the Monday Morning Blues. Yes, we're here together to get that job done. And I'm going to need your help today because Pastor Steph didn't sleep well. Boy, I had a rough night and I need some help. So I'm relying on my loyal listeners to help me get this job done. Yeah. Woo, it was a rough one. So I got some stuff to talk about. And, you know, like I always tell you, I'm looking at the stuff and it's like, but once we get to talking, then, you know, things kind of shift. All right? All righty. Well, go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
This year, 16,000 Americans will be diagnosed with sarcoma.
6,000 will not survive.
Sarcoma is a rare cancer that can grow in bone or soft tissue.
It can affect anyone at any age. A child waking up at night with knee pain and swelling.
A father who finds a lump in his thigh.
A grandmother with unexpected bone pain.
Do not ignore it, even if it does not hurt.
Sarcomas are usually the size of a golf ball or larger.
If you have a new or growing lump,
get it checked out by your doctor.
A team of sarcoma specialists can ensure the right treatment plan
to help patients recover from surgery and regain function.
Many sarcomas can be cured,
and early diagnosis may improve survival.
Researchers are working to discover a cure.
We are here for you.
Good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and we are shaking the Monday Morning Blues. Yes, Can you believe it's Monday again already? And it's the 5th of August. Wow, we are moving rapidly through this year of 2024. And before you know it, we'll be looking at January 1st, God spares. Time is flying, flying, and flying by. And it's waiting for no one. So my prayer is that we're getting it together so that we can, you know, make sure we're living a righteous and holy life that's acceptable unto God. I know sometimes it gets a little, you know, challenging, but we can do it. We can do it. Let's just stay before the Lord and just ask God to help us get through these things. Well, before we get started, I want to give a shout out to the United Church of God Seventh Day, and they're located in Lynbrook, New York, and they hosted their annual camping trip this past weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and we went up for Sabbath Saturday, and we had a really good time. It rained, and they said it rained on Friday. I don't know how it did yesterday, because it rained here for a little while, so I don't know. They were up in like upstate New York, and it was a good time. Afterwards, on Saturday night, they had a concert, and we ended up doing more of a sing-along kind of praise and worship type, you know, event, more than us actually witnessing or having people, you know, entertain us or, you know, sing to us. It was really good. It was so good. It was so good to actually participate, opposed to, you know, just kind of being a spectator and things like that. I actually happened to enjoy that much, much better. And, you know, not necessarily overall, like, for a lifetime, but at that particular moment. At that particular moment, some things kind of had to be shifted around, and we ended up, you know, just kind of being corralled into singing some songs. And it was just such a good group to actually worship and praise God with. And they had some visitors, some local, some other campers who came by, and they had a great time. And, you know, it's something that I'm bringing up because, you know, we underestimate the power of just reaching out and saying to someone, you know, hey, come over to church. You know, they knew that whoever invited these group of young people, they knew that, you know, they were not going to be singing R&B and hip-hop and all of that kind of stuff. They knew, you know, what they were going to be doing, and they actually took the time to invite them, and they really enjoyed themselves. Yes, they did, and they were thanking us for inviting them, and they really expressed how much of a good time they had. And, you know, I'm bringing that up because we really, really underestimate the power of just offering a person an opportunity to worship with us. And you don't know what you're actually keeping that person from. And as we were walking back to the campsite, they started comparing their church experience when they were growing up to their experience in their church. And, you know, they were like, well, we're Catholic, and, you know, they're just really strict, and, you know, we had fun with y'all. Y'all were more fun. That's what they said. Y'all were more fun. And, you know, there's always an opportunity to share God. And there's so many ways to share God. And, you know, we're going to work every day, and we're, you know, talking to people all the time, and we have our associates and maybe even some friends, but we're like reluctant to invite them out to church. And you don't realize the opportunity that you potentially miss to share Christ. Ashanti said she overheard someone else, a young lady, talking and, you know, just expressing, you know, some level of desire, you know, about God and you know, being kind of tired of the life that she had been living in. They got to talking, and, you know, you just don't know who needs what. So you always got to keep your ear open. You always got to keep your eyes open. You always got to keep your mouth open. Keep your mouth open, you know, and be ready to minister and witness for God. Listen, you talk about everything else, right? Oh, it's so easy to talk about everything else. And can I be honest? God is not trying to hear you're not a people person. God is not trying to hear you don't know how. God is not trying to hear, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not comfortable. God's not trying to hear this. God is not trying to hear this at all. At all. Because especially if you're a Christian. Because that's the one thing that God requires of us, to disciple. It says, go ye therefore. Go out. And here's the thing. We're always out, right? Always out. Very few people live like Pastor Steph. I really don't go, you know, much, many places anymore. But I do my share. I'm here with you every morning, right? And, you know, we are going to start back, God spares, this Sunday with our Sunday night prayer and, you know, you reaching out to people and stuff. And God will always give you an opportunity to minister and witness to other people. So let's take this opportunity to do so, okay? Don't miss the opportunity of sharing Christ with someone, because that might save their life. Isn't that what saved your life? Somebody sharing Christ with you? Well, now we've got to flip the script and make sure we get it done. Alrighty? Alrighty. Well, we are on a Monday morning going to talk about, first thing, what do we talk about? Oh, yes, our health. And I came across an article that we've kind of talked about in one way before, but we're going to talk about it in a different way today. And they're talking about those salad kits. Now, I'm guilty of buying those salad kits when I'm ready. Every once in a while I'll, you know, grab some, especially, you know, if we're having something much quicker. They are talking about some different components of the salad kits versus just kind of going out and getting a head of lettuce. And they're saying that salad kits have the risk of being exposed to certain bacteria and other harmful microorganisms. And they say that the FDA has really been on top of, supposedly, of these salad kits. And they want us to know that there are some contaminants that can be found in packaged salads. And they say some common contaminants that are found in salad kits, E. coli. Okay, and they're saying that E. coli is a bacteria that may cause stomach cramps and diarrhea. They say it often comes from contaminated water or soil where the lettuce is grown. Now, we eat the regular lettuce, so that can possibly have E. coli as well. But they say you have a larger potential of finding them in the salad kits. They say another contaminant is norovirus. They say that's a virus that causes vomiting and diarrhea. They say it can be spread by touching contaminated surfaces or food. Salmonella is another contaminant, and they say that's a bacteria that can be found in raw vegetables and can cause fever, diarrhea, and stomach pain. Another contaminant, Listeria. That's a bacteria that can grow in cold foods like salads. It can cause flu-like symptoms and is especially dangerous for pregnant women. Okay. Cyclospora, C-Y-C-L-O-S-P-O-R-A, Cyclospora, which is a parasite that can be found on vegetables and can cause gastrointestinal illness. So those are your contaminants. E. coli, norovirus, salmonella, listeria, and cyclospora. Alrighty. They say contamination in salad kits can occur at various stages. And they say from the farm to the table. And they say it often begins with the growing process where leafy greens can be exposed to pathogens from contaminated water, soil, or manure. Okay, they say outbreaks related to salad kits and bagged salads are not uncommon. In fact, they say they have been linked to several foodborne illness outbreaks in recent years. Okay. So they say there's some safety risks as well of different salad choices. They say it all comes down to how we handle and process the salads. So, you know, before it gets to us, they say packaged pre-cut lettuce and salads often undergo thorough washing and packaging. Okay. Now, this should reduce the risk of contamination. And unfortunately, it doesn't mean that it's going to be contamination-free. But can you imagine if it did not go through any washing? Woo! So they're saying that you go when you use bagged salad kits, it is definitely washed. So, you know, when we get it, sometimes we wash it, sometimes we don't. You're supposed to be able to just eat that straight from the bag. That's what they're saying. Okay. They claim it's fresher and more natural than not, this is kind of weird, the way they're saying it, the way they wash it is supposed to undergo some special kind of treatment. So that's supposed to be the safety side of it. So they're giving us some safety tips. Okay? Ready? Got those pens up? Because we're going to need it. They say check your expiration dates. Okay? And they also say adhere to the expiration or use by date on the packaging. All right? They say make sure the salad or lettuce bag is intact and undamaged. Make sure that the salad kits are stored at the correct temperature, which is 40 degrees. You don't want it any higher than that. Okay? So they say bacteria multiplies at room temperature. So please don't leave your salads out for too long. All right, now lettuce. They say rinse your lettuce under cold running water to remove some of the residual bacteria. But they're also warning us that it will not be completely and entirely removed. Now, this is your regular salad, your regular lettuce, I'm sorry. Okay. They say always follow the food recall. So if they're telling us don't eat it, throw it out, that's what we need to do. Okay. Now, they say that buying whole heads of lettuce can be safer. It can still contain bacteria, but their inner leaves are less exposed to the source of contamination and are handled less than bagged greens. And that was something I was thinking. I was wondering if we were exposed to more contaminants because it's handled more, and that's what they're pretty much saying. Okay? They say another good thing is mixing your greens. Yeah, they say mix your greens. They say that research has been done, and it shows that juice that's released when you chop up spinach, kale, and collards actually have properties that protect against E. coli. Wow. That's an interesting fact. All right. So, overall, bag lettuce, bag salads are not the worst thing in the world. But if we follow those particular tips that I just read, those safety tips, we will be a little more safe, okay? Because if there's any contaminants, our diligence, let's put it like that, our diligence will definitely lower the risk of us being ill, okay? All righty. So let's see what we're talking about today. I think that the Bynums are still on vacay. So we pray that they are well and that they will arrive back here safely. All right? Well, here's one of the things that I came across. So when people smoke weed and they somehow dispose of it and they don't dispose of it properly, guess what happens? Your little doggies can pick up those little stray weeds, literally. And they had a small dog that actually ate some weed. Yeah. And they say normally he's lovable and clingy and active, and he became very lethargic to a degree and was acting really, really weird. And the dog's owner couldn't get him to even drink water. So he didn't know what was wrong, rushed him to the vet, and they did some tests and found out that the dog had eaten the weed. Someone had threw, wherever this owner was walking the dog, they had thrown it down, and the dog consumed it. They say now when it comes to the intoxication of dogs, they say it can begin 30 to 90 minutes after consumption. And that's when it actually started. And they had to leave the dog in the hospital with a drip and given charcoal medication. Now, I don't know how many of you know what charcoal medication is, but it's like when people have an overdose of drugs, they give them that charcoal. Yeah, and it kind of reverses the effect of the drug. Has saved many lives. Now, they say it was very expensive to treat this dog, not only for what was, you know, wrong with the dog, but, you know, they had to call a vet who was actually not in the office, and they said that that was the best thing the owner could have done for the dog, because being that the dog would not drink any water, he would have died because he would have become dehydrated. And they don't know how much he ingested. So, you know, little do we know that this weed is not only killing us, but it's killing our animals. Wow. Wow. What else are we talking about? Let's see. We got some Olympic news. We've got an employer. A school. We've got some scandal. Everywhere you turn around, you have some scandal. Now, people are so unwise. So these school employees were fired or placed on leave because they had some inappropriate pictures. Now, some inappropriate pictures that they took during this Hispanic Heritage celebration, and they posted it on Facebook. And, oh boy, I tell you, people just don't think. So you have them in pictures. Now, this is from the Royal Elementary's Facebook page. Okay? On the Royal Elementary's Facebook page. So the staff members were wearing sombreros and other Hispanic attire, which was not bad, because remember now, this is the whole Hispanic Heritage celebration. But why? Why would you wear clothes, T-shirts that say U.S. Border Patrol? You don't think people are going to catch these subliminal messages? Really? So they were spotted on the Facebook page, but on the people's Facebook page. You didn't even take the pictures, let's say, and post them someplace else. You post them on the school's Facebook page, and you really thought that that was going to be okay? No. Well, someone found it, and they thought it was very insensitive, and they removed it from the Facebook page, and now, you know, they have them issuing an apology, and some people were fired, and some people were put on leave. Now, I don't know how they determined who would be fired and who would be put on leave, but we know that the one who had the T-shirt on was probably the one that was fired, and maybe the ones who were put on leave are the ones who took the pictures with them. Yeah, they didn't break that part down, but the superintendent got involved, and of course, you know, they're, you know, apologizing, and they're saying that there's 3% of their population is Hispanic or Latino. So they couldn't, you know, just deal with that and not respond. So I don't know, y'all. I don't know what people are thinking. It's like you're willing to give up your job for fun. You don't think, with all the sensitivity out here, all the things that people are doing that's causing all this uproar. And, hey, you got to make sure you do what you need to do to hold on to your job. All right? Oh, boy. All right. What else are we talking about here? Well, this part here, I was like, wow. Now, this one is a wow story for my girl, Viv. So you have this police dog named Veda who dies from heat exhaustion after he's left in a patrol car. Yes. Now, they probably going to, you know, give a pass. Because what they normally do, the canine unit, they have been known for leaving the dogs in the car. This is in Missouri. In the car, but with the air conditioning running, the air conditioner running, rather, right? So they left Lil Veda, who's a four-year-old dog, in the patrol car with the AC running, okay? But here's what happened, they say. The AC system broke. He's inside of the car. Now, the way it works is there's some kind of a sensor. Because the cars are generally left with the air conditioners running, they say that their police cars are equipped with some type of a heat sensor, and it will alert the officer if the car reaches a certain temperature. But they say when the sensor failed, it never sent the signal to the officer whose car it was. So Lil Veda was left in the car with the malfunctioning air conditioner. They say that it went above 93 degrees with a possible heat index of 110. And when they finally came out, they had to rush him to the vet, but ultimately he didn't make it. And, of course, You know, they're going to go with, well, this is an accident. And, you know, this is what they normally do. They normally leave the dogs in the car with the air conditioner running. And they say, you know, some people are like, okay, you know, that's what they normally do. You can't blame them. It was an accident. And then others are, hey, you know what? That's like leaving a child in the car. Now, my thing is, here's two of my thoughts. My first thought was, why is this a practice? Why leaving the dog in the car is a practice? I don't even care if you do run the air conditioner. Are we allowed to leave our kids in the car? Would that be acceptable? That's point number two for Stephanie. If somebody left their child in the car and went in the store and everything was running properly, would that be acceptable to the authorities? I don't know, y'all, because I have not heard exceptions to any rule about, well, as long as the air conditioner was running. No, every time we hear that there's a child left in the car, unattended, locked up in there, those parents had to pay the piper. Well, I don't think they should make this a practice either. Because now how are you telling people that it's fine for you because you left an air conditioner running versus a parent who supposedly didn't leave the air conditioner running? Because I never heard that as a contingency. Well, you know, if they had left the air conditioner running, we would not be locking this parent up. We would not hold this parent responsible. No, you simply are going to jail because you left this child in the car unattended. Well, why are the animals treated any different? And I'm going to tell you something, I'm not an animal lover like that. But listen, the point is the point. No, Lil Vader lost his life when your air conditioner malfunctioned and your sensor malfunctioned in several ways. Because it didn't even notify the patrol officer. So, I don't know. They need to stop. They need to end that rule right now. That needs to be a rule of yesterday. It needs to be a rule of yesterday. No, no more leaving the dogs in the car with the air conditioner. Now, maybe it's just crazy Stephanie. But I say end that. End that and end that. Alrighty. Now, let's get to some really quick, Olympic news. So you've got this Alex Walsh, who's a swimmer, and was disqualified. She was disqualified over the weekend because she did not complete her backstroke properly. Yeah. So for those of you who watch this particular event, you know, okay, so I have to tell you, I've watched almost every single event other than golf. I'm not watching nobody's golf. I'm not doing that. But I have pretty much watched almost every event on there. And swimming is at the kind of like not, you know, somewhere in my top five. And when they are doing the 200 meter, each lap is a different type of swim. So you've got, you know, when you first go out, you could be doing the butterfly, and the next time could be the backstroke, and then another time could be something else, and then the last time is kind of freestyling. So for this particular event, this run, they say she did not complete her backstroke leg fully. So somehow or another, she was supposed to turn but have a complete turn in that particular type of stroke, and she did it. So now she's disqualified because she did it. And I'm going to tell you something, they're watching. They have those people on the ends, and they're looking down in that water to see what's done. I don't know if any of you are watching, but they have this device in the water, this camera, that's also moving with them that shows exactly what's going on underneath the water. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff that's happening. And I'm going to tell you something. Watching these events, they are very strict. They are watching everything you do. So this is really heartbreaking for her. But this is definitely something that they have to be really careful about. They have to do everything by the book. Now, there was another, some track and field where the guy started, I can't think of the terminology they use, but he started a little sooner, and, yep, he was gone. Yeah, you get disqualified. They don't give you another chance at this. Nope. So for those of you who may not have had a chance to watch or wondering what happened, that's what happened to little Alex Walsh. All right. And our girl Simone is actually on the receiving end of more criticism. So they are talking about the fact that they have a picture of her husband wearing her gold medal. Yeah. And they feel that it was disrespectful for him to be wearing her medal. He took a picture and he wrote, "Witnessing history every time you step on the mat. Congrats, baby, on becoming the most decorated American gymnast in Olympic history." And she's loading up. And you have some people who actually responded to his post. You know, "I'm so glad you were able to see your wife make Olympic history, married to the GOAT, her story." Yeah, there were some people that was like actually okay with it. And then you had the others who, "Why is he holding it like he won it? I'm annoyed that he's holding it. It's not yours. Somebody else will give the medal back. It's not yours." And she is hot. She was like, this is how she responded. "Crazy thing is, I put my medal on every single one of my family members and took pictures. So don't ever make assumptions. Like, y'all are so blankety blank miserable. Leave us alone." So I want to know, do y'all think that it's wrong for her to take her medal, put it on her family, take pictures, and for her husband to actually take a picture with the medal and comment? So I'm interested. Send me a hit. Let me know what you think. I'm going to talk to our Due Time crew, our skeletal Due Time crew, but it's always the perfect group nonetheless. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Monday morning. Good morning, Pastor Cliff. How are you today?
I hate you. Wow. I can't wait for Tamika to come back. So go, girl, you better go listen to Monday's show. Wow. That was cute. All right. There's a couple of things I wanted to ask after we went through all of our little news. Okay, so you had little Vader, who's 4 years old. You know, he's one of those police dogs. And the practice in Missouri, in this particular area of Missouri is to leave the dogs in the car with the air conditioner running. And what happens is they have sensors. The cars have sensors where if the heat index goes up too high, it notifies the patrol officer, and then they can address the issue. Well, the sensors malfunctioned. There was no signal sent out, and the heat index went to approximately 110 degrees. They don't know how long Lil Vader was in the car, but he subsequently ended up passing away from the heat in the car. So what comes to your mind when you think of this? Because I've already kind of gave an introduction as to my thought. But what comes to your thought with this? They keep the dog in the car and wait for the sensors.
I think that's still neglect. I mean, you know, the dog can get into anything. No, I mean, that's like me saying, you know what, I kept my child in the car, but the AC was running, so they should be good. No, they're still not attended to. So anything could happen, and it just did. Anything just happened. You know, no one thought that the AC would stop running. You know what I mean? If I keep my child in the car for too long, the gas will run out, and the AC will stop running. I don't have a detector on my phone saying the gas is running out. You know, so I think it's still a form of neglect.
Okay. Do you think they need to stop this practice? And do you think they need to hold the police department responsible? We know they won't, but.
By all means, they definitely need to stop the practice, and they do need to hold the police department responsible. I mean, it's totally ridiculous, you know. Or leave the dog at home or in the kennel, you know. So once you finish with the dog, then take the dog back to the kennel, you know. Once he finishes his job, no one just hangs out in the car after they finish working. They go home, and if you had to leave your dog in the car that long, where you would think that you need something to detect on how hot it will be, then it's been too long. So, yeah, you need to take the dog back after he's done his duty or his job and take him back home. No need to have a dog riding in the car.
Absolutely. That was my thought. My thought was, why y'all leaving the dog in the car anyway? Y'all can't, there's no kennel inside. If you're a canine unit, then where's the kennel? Where do you take them to feed them? Why they can't just be in the precinct, if you will, with air conditioning? Why are you running cars like this? That's healthy? So I don't know. I do not know. That was kind of puzzling to me as well, Pastor KL. All right. We have this issue with Simone Biles' husband wearing one of her medals, her gold medal, and taking a picture in it. And people are responding negatively to the fact that he should not be taking pictures with the gold medal. And she says, well, listen, I put the gold medal on each of my family members and let them take pictures with it. So leave me alone. What's your thought?
Well, my thought is, you know, my son got two masters and a doctorate. And I put on his tassel, his cap, and I take pictures on it as if I was the doctor. I know I ain't no doctor, you know, but that's just my proud moment. You know, my son didn't have a problem with it. She didn't have a problem with it. How do you have a problem with something that ain't yours? You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, and not that she needed to explain herself, But what she says, she's done that with every family member she has. So everybody at one point had it on. You just didn't see it. Listen, he doesn't have to walk around like he's done it. You know, he's a football player. He's done other great things. You know, he's just proud of his wife. Leave him alone.
All righty. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. Let's see what your girl Shantice has to say about these things. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How is everyone doing?
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. So what do you think of Little Vader's story? Do you think that they should hold them at the same standard of leaving, you know, the dogs in the car like they do for us leaving children in the car?
It's a shame what they did to that dog. Absolutely. You know what I mean? It's an animal, you know, and it's kind of surprising because people tend to treat the animals better than they treat the humans. So I'm kind of taken aback that they were that careless with the little doggy. But absolutely, they should definitely be penalized the same way, because it's just the same level of carelessness and, like, where is your head? What are you doing? Type of thing. Absolutely.
Now, here's the thing. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
No, I finished.
Oh. The thing that puzzles me also is they say they don't know how long he was left in the car. So here's my thought. The dog is not going to die from, you know, being in the car for 15, 20 minutes. So that means you
right.
had to have left that dog in the car for quite some time, because you have, for the period of time that the air conditioner was running, that he was in the car, and then you have the period of time the air conditioner wasn't running. So what'd you do?
Right.
Walk off and leave him for the shift? I don't get it. So I don't know.
But who walks off and leaves their AC running in the car, and they're not in the car? Like,
right.
What part of the game is that? I don't
right.
care if you're human or not. I'm not benefiting from this AC. Ain't nobody benefiting from this AC. So how are you leaving? That means your keys have to be in the ignition, or your keys have to be sitting in the car. If it's a push start, you can't walk off too far from the car with the keys and the car stay on. So how
right.
does that work? You just
right.
know, if you got a Batmobile, you just know ain't nobody going to take your car. So that,
yeah, I guess.
That's interesting.
Yes. Well, I guess because it's not their personal car, you can leave the, because they say that this is their practice, supposedly. At least that's what they tell us. You know, this might be just a smokescreen for your negligence, but that's what they claim, that this is their practice. All right. We've got Simone Biles, who she has legitimately won her medals. And this particular time, the husband took the medal, put it on, took pictures, and sent, posted on Instagram. Well, the people are not happy. They're saying that he has no business wearing it. It's not his. You know, take it off. What's your thought? Should she be able to just, you know, let her husband or whomever wear the medal, take a picture in it, so forth and so on?
Oh, shut up. Okay, this is her medal. Isn't that what was said? It's her medal. So why does anyone, including the people who run the Olympics, he ain't put the medal on and go rob a bank and have his face covered, and now y'all are getting looked at because we have the surveillance of someone wearing a medal from this event. Like, who cares? They, you know, those people just wait. Those some lonely people. They just got way too much time to sit and scroll through social media and try to analyze stuff like this. Listen, if this is the person or these are the people who got me, who helped to get me where I am, then everybody gonna wear this medal. The coach, my dog, whomever. If my dog helped wake me up in time for training every day, and I want to pay homage to my dog and put the medal on, it's my medal. Are you mad because you don't have a medal for anything? Unless there was a medal for scrolling through social media. It's just, after a while, it's just like, when do we sit back and think about the things we think about?
I like that concept. All these people helped her get this medal. Then I'm going to hang this medal on them. And because this one medal, all of us actually achieved that medal. I actually like that concept, Shantice. We have a listener who sent in, are there like rules? Is there a rule by the powers that be regarding the medals? And I don't find any. And they said that's probably the same people that talked about her hair.
No. Those are two separate, completely sick. No. That hair thing was something serious. Let's not mix the two. Let's not confuse one another. That hair thing was something serious. This hair is just silly. No. Mm-mm. Let's stick to one thing at a time.
Oh my goodness. You know, again, I actually really like that, the point that the both of you made. You know, as dad, you know, he feels proud. You know, this is his moment as well. And for her, who says, you know, listen, I take a picture and I put it on everybody's neck. And you know what, I like that thought of, you know what, everybody helped me to achieve this gold medal. So whoever wears it is responsible. They don't have any rules published. I don't know if it's something that they sign or anything like that, but I do believe if it was something, it probably wouldn't be where other people can't take pictures. I don't know, you know, because they got all kind of quirky rules. But oh, my goodness. You know, people are always going to find something to talk about. Now, yes, I talked about that hair. I did. But, again, you know, people, because that's something she can control. That's something that did not have to be. But if you're celebrating, this is her medal. And I agree. As long as there's nothing that's disparaging being done with this medal, or, you know, it wasn't, you know, being thrown around, or, you know, she didn't hold it up and they didn't talk about it and, you know, negatively and things like that. I think that it's something that leave them alone. Your grooming is completely different. Your grooming is completely different, at least in my opinion. So, all right, Pastor KL. Yes.
You know, my son and there's other folks who have fought and who fight for this country, and they have flags out, you know, at their house. So should I not put a flag out because I haven't fought for the country?
Interesting.
Is that looking down on me because I have not gone to war or I have not served my time with the armed forces? So it's just like that.
Interesting point. I like that. Interesting point, Pastor KL. Something to think about. Something to think about. I think we do that in many different instances. I think if we were to really think about it, you know, we do quite a bit, you know, where we actually kind of connect the dots. And, excuse me, if we were to hold that standard to everything, then the answer would be no, Pastor KL. You know, no, we ain't supposed to have that flag up or anything else. So, interesting, very interesting thought. All righty. This is one serious, serious, weird situation here. And you'll see why I say this is a weird dilemma. Okay, it's a little lengthy, so I'm going to need you to listen. I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible. But I was trying to read it and see if I could come up with an abridged version, but I think it all matters. All right. My sister Jenna and her husband Grant have been having some friction in their marriage over the last year. It stems from Grant being flirty with other women, leading Jenna to suspect him of cheating on her. He denies anything is going on and says he just enjoys giving women compliments and they enjoy receiving them. He has allowed Jenna to go through his phone and email. She has found nothing, but she still says she has a gut feeling he isn't being honest with her. All right. Last week over coffee, she came to me with a proposition that left me floored. She wants me to try to see if I can get Grant to say yes to sleeping with me the next time I'm at their place when she, as far as Grant thinks, isn't home. Her plan is for me to seduce him, get him into their bedroom while she hides in the closet, and emerge from hiding when it's clear he's willing to go through with it, but before anything happens. I said there was no chance I would entertain this and for her to hire a private detective to catch him if she thinks he's cheating, she can afford to. She threw a tantrum telling me I was a bad sister and saying she would do it for me if I were in her position. I told her that her marital problems were between her and Grant, and I left. A couple of days later, I received a call from our mother. Jenna had run this insane scheme by her, and my mother actually criticized me for refusing to go along with it. Our mother has never cared for Grant, and she has always taken my sister's side and catered to her whims, but still I am dumbstruck that she would expect something like this of me. I told her it was not up for discussion and never to bring it up again, and then I ended the conversation. Now both Jenna and our mom are giving me the cold shoulder. I am furious with both of them. Jenna is the sort who can carry a grudge to the end of time, and my mother will likely spend months giving me guilt trips, but this is non-negotiable. My parents divorced when my sister and I were kids, and I am close with my dad, but I am too embarrassed to bring this up with him, although I know he would be outraged at their behavior. What can I do here? Pastor KL.
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, this is the man you chose to marry, you know. So as a man, if I'm allowing you to go into my phone as a man, I ain't doing that. Because I'm not risking being caught with nothing. Because remember, we already slow. You know what I mean? So the things that we thought that we deleted, we ain't deleted. So I'm telling you to go into my phone. And if you still thinking something's going on, you crazy. And then you want your sister to flirt with me. You setting yourself up for a bad thing. You know, you have no business being in this relationship because you don't trust me. You don't trust you. And then, of course, misery loves company. So depending on how the breakup was with your parents, the mama's is all for it because maybe the dad cheated. So, yeah, come on, let's get it. We're going to hang everybody. Give me the man, child. You know, it's just sad. And now you don't want to speak to your sister because she got integrity. She got morals. Really? Go kill yourself.
Wow. Wow. That was kind of loaded. I'm coming back to some of them things. Shantese.
Hmm.
First of all, how old are we? You talking about, oh, can you do this so I can see? I remember one of my exes did that. He got punched in his mouth. But that, not only are you asking this, you're asking your sister. So if I just punch this one, you're asking your sister to be the one to do this. Not only are you asking your sister to be the one to do this, they're, because even when we were younger and, you know, we would try to think of this and see, like, oh, go try to holler at him to see if he... It was never asked to the point to where right before you pull the panties down, then I'm going to jump out. Ha, ha, I knew it. What? What? What did you read that gave you the
oh
idea?
Oh, my gosh.
What did you... And not only that... Now, how do you know that? How do you know that I'm gonna want to stop at that point, sis? You might as well let us finish this, because if we get to the point where we're in the bedroom, then I think it's safe to say he's with it, and so am I. Because I don't never remember being okay with pretending like I want to be in the bedroom with someone and I don't want to. And then you got the nerve to get upset with me because I don't want to be as slow as you, and then you go and grab the senior slow person, and now both of y'all upset with me. Here's what I do. I'ma leave y'all in the slow people only section, and I'ma go over here and I'ma live my life. Cause something wrong with all of y'all. You, mama, and your husband. Something wrong with all of y'all. He likes to give compliments, don't think nothing wrong with it. You ain't slapped him yet, so now I think something wrong with you. Then you coming to me with this. This is just all the way, like, you have to have started taking some drugs for anxiety now, and this is why you're acting like this. No part of this makes any type of sense. Any type of sense. This is this. If you've got to go through all of that, y'all don't need to be together. It's too. This happened in the summertime because it's too hot to even be coming up with scenes like this. It's too much. It's too much. It's too much. If you have to go through all of that, the relationship is over. That's way too much. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I want to go back to something that Pastor KL said, Shantice. He said, if I allow you to go through my phone, that automatically indicates that I'm not doing anything because I just wouldn't be doing all of that. What do you think of that concept?
That's not true. It's safe to believe that if you allow me, air quotes, to go through your phone, that means there is a method. But once upon a time, I made a career with going through everything. I went through phones, emails, postal mail, everything. I went through everything. So I may not have found something here, but yeah, you didn't have anything to hide here. But when I went and looked over there, there was a whole lot to hide. So unfortunately, there are, you know, most men, the main thing is the main device is the phone. So yeah, if I could pick up your phone at any time, you don't have your phone face down and all that, then that could mean that you ain't doing something. However, there are those who have the time and energy to be a bit more crafty, and they may not be doing anything on the phone because they know that that's the woman's first go-to, is the phone. If they got some in them emails, they got stuff saved in their computers, they all this dumb stuff. They save memorabilia in all other areas. So that's not a cookie cutter, like, okay, so if I let you go through my phone, then there's no, I'm not hiding anything. I just may not be hiding anything in the phone.
Okay. You know, I had to read this a couple of times because it was a couple of things that kind of stuck out to me. And one of the things that stuck out to me was this issue of the phone and him, you know, willingly saying, hey, you know, here, go through my phone. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not impressed with that. You know, although someone like Pastor KL is like, all right, if I let you go through my phone, then we good. You know, there's nothing there because I have nothing to hide. Not with the delete button. I'm sorry. There's a particular gentleman I know. He erases everything. He erases everything. It's saved in his thoughts. He says he keeps nothing on his phone. Saved in his thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So for Pastor KL, who would be, you know, a person who doesn't have anything in his phone, you have other people who make it their business to actually wipe their phone clean. And to me, that's just such an easy process because as soon as you get it, you just delete the whole thread. So there's nothing, you know, to actually catch if I delete the whole thread. So once the thread is gone unless you're going to pull up. There's a way you can pull up as long as there haven't been like any major changes. You could actually go back to the last time the phone kind of saved and it would pull up anything old. But she ain't gonna have no time to be doing all of that unless she's doing that while you sleep and all of that kind of stuff. And sometimes that process takes a little bit of time because it's restoring things. So the quickest thing for you to do is just to get rid of the thread. So I was like, okay, well, I ain't sold on that one. The other thing I wanted to talk about here was she says he denies doing anything and nothing is going on. It says he just enjoys giving women compliments, and they enjoy receiving them. And I'm saying to myself, okay, I need to put this on the floor tomorrow. Pastor KL, what is this theory of I'm married, but I make it my business to compliment other women because they enjoy receiving the compliments? What does that mean?
That means I'm on suicide watch because I'm about to die.
Amen.
that's what that means. And for you to admit to your wife that, yeah, I'm doing this because they enjoy it, you know, that you're on suicide watch because that means you're not doing it enough at home. You know, your wife is not getting as much of attention. If she was, she wouldn't be that upset. Are you giving everybody else attention? You know, and then sometimes, you know, the wife takes the husband for granted that he's here all the time, and she doesn't give him any attention. So he goes out looking for attention and just to see if he still got it. You know, so she's not taking care of him, you know, saying, hey, baby, you look good today or whatever. You know, because men need just as much attention, if not more, you know, as women do. And if sometimes the women get complacent, because I got them now, you know, he done said I do, the death do us part, and if we part, somebody will die, you know, so I don't have to say nothing. So he goes out looking, and you know what? He may not even want or be interested. They may not even be his type, but just the results that he gets from saying, hey, good morning, sweetheart, you look good today. Oh, my God. You know, that crazy nonsense. And that's what he runs with because he's not getting that. You tell your wife you look good today, and she's like, oh, okay, thank you. You know, so yeah, it's a little different.
Okay. Shantiz, what's your take on this piece here?
You bold, and you just said, it's over. You said, I like giving and they like hearing, but what I heard was, it's over. Because that is just, and I completely agree with Pastor KL. Also, you got men who do it just because they can, you know, as well. In addition to the, I want to see if I still got it, because, you know, I may not be getting it at home, or I may be getting it at home, but because I can, I just like the reaction, and that may lead into something else. But either way, what you're also saying is you don't want a relationship, not just this relationship, but a relationship, because being in a relationship has everything to do with what we do when we're around each other and when we're not around each other. So you would be just as okay if I came home every day and told you, oh, I'm at work, and all the men in the office come past my desk every day, all day, and let me know how good I look. Let me know they like when I wear the skirts every Thursday, so I'm going to make sure I wear a skirt every Thursday because I know I get these compliments. That would be okay. That would be settling for you. Absolutely not. You pass out. So that it's just the boldness. It's just like, wow, okay. This is what we're doing now.
You know, this issue with attention. And some people are greedy for attention. You know, some people, they don't, no matter how much you make, because both of you have made very good points, and there are some people who, no matter how much attention, it's just never enough attention. And I remember talking to a gentleman who was having a problem with his relationship, and he mentioned, you know, this is just recreation. She found him flirting with people on Facebook. This is before Instagram even became a thing. And he was like, well, that's just rec. And I was like, what does that mean? He was like, that's just what I do for fun. He's like, I'm not really into these women. I'm not really, you know, trying to get their attention. This is what I do for recreation. And I'm saying to myself, well, you need to find a paddle ball or a pool stick or something, because I'm sorry, this here is destroying your marriage, and all you could say is this is wreck? Yeah, this is wreck, all right. It's wrecking your life. That's about where you going with this. So you do have some instances where the woman is, you know, she ain't paying him no mind, and he does come and, you know, he's touching her or, you know, trying to, you know, be with her, and she does not want to have anything done with her, to her. And then you have the other instance where, you know, he's simply not giving her any attention. You know, this whole proposition to her sister, how far do we go? So you have the suspicion that your husband is cheating or your wife is cheating, Pastor KL. How far do you go to see whether your suspicions are correct?
Well, me personally, I just wait it out. You know, and anything that's in the dark is going to come to light eventually. I don't have enough time, enough money, and or enough energy, you know, to go through all that stuff. I still have to live my life. And once you get yourself wrapped up in ploys and trying to lay out a trap, you gotta constantly go and check the traps. You can't live because you're trying to see if we caught anything in the trap. So you can't live your life because you're so consumed about what she might be doing. Not what she's doing, what she might, what you suspect her doing. You know, I don't have that kind of energy. I'm going to ask you once. I might even ask you twice if there's anything going on. You know, when you start seeing routines change, you know what I mean? Women got intuition. Listen, men, you ain't crazy. You know, men just don't want to go with their first gut because they want to believe or they can't fathom somebody else screwing their woman. They don't want to see that, you know, say in their mind. Forget about it. Physically, they don't want to see that in their mind. So they push it to the side. So, but once you start seeing that in your mind, you start running with that, the relationship is over. And I don't have time, because I don't have time to go through that every day. I can't work at home because I got to run home and see the track. I say I can't go play sports because I got to run home. You know what I mean? Because I got a private investigator. I don't have the kind of money to be investigating. I'm sorry. Especially when I'm flirting because I like what they say. Okay, well, you know what? It's time for me to move on. They like what I'm saying. You don't like what I'm saying? Okay, we good.
Mm, OK. Okay, okay. Shantice, how far do you go when you suspect he's cheating?
Once upon a time, I would go far. When I was a young whippersnapper, I had the energy. I was with the smoke. I was all the way with the smoke. I would create the smoke. Like I was never bugging. I was never one of the women where it's like, okay, Shantice is all in your head. I was right. I may have to have dug a little longer, but I was right. But I was with it. Now, if I even think, if it even crosses my mind, me and Jesus got to have a meeting. Because, see, immediately I'm like, God, how soon can I say bye-bye? Because I don't have the energy. I don't have the time. I don't like, I don't love anyone that much to put myself through all of that. I know we're supposed to be evangelizing and discipling, but I don't love anybody that much to make a career out of that ever again in my life. As much as I would love to be a healthy Christian wife and all that, I would just have to accept the fact that I'm one of those people where God said, it ain't meant for you to be with nobody before I take myself through that ever again. So to even hear of this is just like, how old are you, ma'am, that you're doing, or not only you're doing this, but you're now convincing other people that they should be doing this. It's just, it's too much. Like Pastor Kale said, it takes you away from it takes you away from reality. It takes you away from everything for you to now consume yourself with, what is he doing? What is he doing? It's raining. Where he at? Wait, he didn't take an umbrella. I mean, he in a car. It's just too much. No.
Oh, my goodness.
Before I lose my salvation for real and my seat in the kingdom, we just going to end this. We are just going to end. This is just too much.
Oh, my
no
gosh.
Way.
I got a question. Does she really love her family? Does she really love her family, Pastor KL? And I say this because not only has she sucked sister or attempted to suck the sister up into this madness, but now she's successfully sucked the mama up into this madness. Does she really love her family?
Well, first of all, you don't really love yourself because you are so insecure that you haven't found a love for yourself. And then you know you don't love your family because now that your family, okay, so if I ask you a question and because you don't like my answer, now you don't want to talk to me anymore? But we're supposed to be family. So no, you love me under condition. It's not unconditional love, it's under condition. If you don't do what I need you to do, then we don't talk for the rest of our life over something that might not even be something. Not only that, now you put this person in the middle of you and your husband. So now he has a bad taste in his mouth for you and your family. Because if I'm not doing nothing and you put your sister as a decoy or as a ploy, now I'm mad at you because of where your mind is. And now I'm mad at your people because they just as crazy as you are. So it's time for me to go.
Okay. Shantice, does she love her family?
Absolutely not. Because again, I say, you're now trying to convince them to be as wicked and remedial as you. So you're not, you have no level of sanity, so now no one should have any level of sanity yet. Because how is everyone else supposed, how is your sister supposed to feel? So you're asking your sister to get into, and this is, that's what I'm talking about, you you are detached from reality when you allow this to consume you, because you don't realize what you're doing, like Pastor Kale said, to yourself and to other people. You are asking, this is no different than how God is allowing us to see how these actors and actresses are stepping into these ungodly portals to play these characters in these movies and shows and stuff. So you're now, if my sister is telling me, which she should be telling me, I'm not interested in your man, that better be your answer. I'm now trying to tell you, you need to somehow put yourself in a mindset where you're finding him attractive enough to seduce him into, oh my gosh, not even into just saying I like you, but to get him in the bed. To get him in the bedroom and in the bed. You don't. So now you start this, you turn this on, and then you're going to be the same one when it doesn't turn off. So now how fair is it to her? How fair is it to her when they do sleep together? And now, even if you decide to stay with him or not, you're not going to want to see them together or know that they're sex partners. But whose fault is that? Because even if secretly she wanted your man, she respected you enough to just make sure she kept herself, you know, away from that, tamed and disciplined her thoughts. But now you're introducing her to this and you're turning her on to this. You can't get mad now at whatever happens. So now you're the reason why all of this is turned on, but then now you're going to want her to turn it right back off. You can't do that to people. So no, she doesn't love anybody.
I got another issue. Further, and I'm sure Sean Keith is going to run with this. So let's just go on Sean Keith's premise that the sister says yes and she goes all the way. And now what happens if that first time the sister gets pregnant? So now I'm mommy auntie.
I help grandma.
Boy, what a tangled web we weave. Yeah, because we're really not thinking going forward. We're not thinking about pregnancy. We're not thinking of the fact that you have now slept with my husband and now y'all become a permanent item. And for the rest of my life,
right.
I got to look
right.
at this. What happens when that plan for the hot second ends up becoming a permanent plan and a lifestyle for the two of them? And now forever and a day, you're going to have to watch this. He was yours, but you turned him over to your sister. You know, so there's so many... And it's a good point, you know. What happens, you know, when she gets pregnant? And now you stuck with this auntie-mommy scenario, and you sitting on the sideline. Because I can't imagine y'all having kids. Ain't no kids have not been mentioned, but I can't imagine y'all having kids, and this is your plan. I can't even imagine. So let's say for argument's sake, nobody has children. Oh, there's a child in the equation now, and it ain't got nothing to do with you. So it's a very good scenario. All right, so in the absence of our official – oh, no, I got one more question. So she says mom is not talking to her anymore. Sister's not talking to her anymore, and now all I got is dad. Do I share this with dad, or do I just leave this completely off the table and just be pals with dad? Pastor Kale.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think there's any need to share it with dad. I mean... You've already said what you're not going to do. You know, you have to deal with them at this point. You already have a wonderful relationship with your dad. So you know, I wouldn't add more smoke to the fire. You know, they are who they are. You know, they are who they are. I'm not gonna risk my father's relationship with my sister because of her nonsense. You know, it's just not fair. I'm not gonna go after that and try to kill that because of the decision she wants to make.
Okay. Shantice, do you share this information with Dad?
I sure do. You already spoke to Mom. Well, I stopped there. Might as well let everybody know. Might as well let everybody know. You told Mama. Now let's see how slow Daddy is. Daddy, you better not be as slow as Mama because this is the side she's on. Okay? Which side do you fall? Absolutely, because especially if we share the same father. You know, it's not like we have different fathers. Then it's like, all right, I would literally be bringing someone, an outsider, in on, you know, this unnecessary beef. But we share the same father. And no, absolutely, because he's going to sense some tension. And before you get to him and I mean, if he's a smart person, it's still going to sound stupid. But before you get to him and make it seem like something wrong with me, let me save my father. Because, Daddy, I don't want to have to cut everybody off. So let me give you a chance. Let me tell you what really happened first, right? This is what happened. And now they're not talking to me. Now you pick a side. Choose wisely. Because I already told Mama, bye-bye, Mama, bye-bye. It is what it is. But no, I would definitely share. I would definitely share. Because maybe Daddy, she was supposed to be able to go to Mama. Obviously, nobody got enough beatings during the childhood. Because she should have been able to go to the Mama, and Mama set her straight. Like, oh, you bringing this to me? Like, I'm supposed to be agreeing with you? But unfortunately, she didn't get that. So everybody think they right. Everybody think they right. No, so maybe it's going to take Dad to talk some sense and help you to really understand just how ridiculous all of this is. But how is this supposed to be if I don't tell him? Because this is what ends up happening. No one ever calls for a family gathering, get-together dinner until some beef breaks out. Now everybody want to be kumbaya. No. Before you decide to have a Sunday dinner, let me just let you know I ain't rocking with them right now. So don't come up with no bright ideas. We ain't going to splish splash. We ain't going to eat at so-and-so's house. No, and this is why. I would definitely tell that.
Okay. Well, Shantice, the switch tip is your baby. In the absence of a segment today, what would be the switch tip for this particular case?
The switch. Excuse me. When we make the switch from the streets to our garden deep, our switch tip 194 is focus on stability. And this is crazy because this switch tip was actually on reserve from a few weeks ago. And stability just seems to be something that a whole lot of people need in this particular scenario. Definitions of stability: not likely to give way or overturn, sane and sensible, not easily upset, stirred, not deteriorating in health. And a couple of synonyms, a few synonyms for stability is secure, immovable, clear-headed. And when you think about being secure, immovable, and clear-headed, that has nothing to do with allowing the streets and this world to dictate your life, because there is nothing secure, there is nothing immovable, and there is nothing clear-headed about these streets nowadays. And God is really making sure that we see that. He's not allowing a whole lot to be covered up or covered up for too long anymore. So I came across a few verses that really put the stamp on making sure that we're focusing on being secure, focusing on being immovable, focusing on being clear-headed. James 1:8 in the Amplified Version reads, being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all his ways, in everything he thinks feels or decides. And this scenario alone shows that this woman is completely unstable in what she thinks, feels, and decides. 1 Peter 4:7 Amplified Version reads, "The end and culmination of all things is near. Therefore, be sound-minded and self-controlled for the purpose of prayer. Stay in balance and focus on the things of God so that your communication will be clear, reasonable, specific, and pleasing to Him." And when we are not stable, one of the ways we can definitely recognize an unstable person, even when it's us, is the way we communicate. We're not able to get our thoughts together. When we can't even talk to ourselves, that's when we know we need help. Okay, because if I can't talk to myself and help this make sense to me, how am I now relaying that, whatever that is, to anyone else? How am I now relaying it to God? Despite God already knowing what we should and need to be praying for, we still need to be able to communicate with Him. So just think about how that prayer looks when you're just sitting there, and because you're so unsecure and because you're not clear-headed, you can't even sit still and quiet enough to allow the Holy Spirit to speak for you. Very scary. Isaiah 33:6 Amplified Version reads, "And He will be the security and stability of your time, a treasure of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is your treasure." It is a true gift to be stable. It is a true gift to be clear-headed. When despite all that's going on, it's making me think of the verse that says that Jesus will grant us the peace that surpasses all understanding. That is a true gift that God gives us. We have to make sure we are making the switch from being insecure, from wavering, from allowing any and everything to cloud our mind, to making sure we are moving securely, immovable, and clear-headed nowadays, because that is the only way we are going to get through moments. From moment to moment and from day to day, from situation to situation. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Wow. Thank you. I didn't think you were going to be that detailed. Wow. Thank you so much. I didn't. I was like, okay, I'll just, you know, ask her. But you had verses and everything. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Pastor KL and Shantice, thank you so much. Always coming through big time for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You ladies as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. You know, boy, did we see a whole bunch of flaws in this particular scenario. So we're just going to keep this nice and simple. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Numbers 6:22-26. And if you need anything, if you're in that particular zone, you need peace. You know, we can really, really put ourselves in a jam. And I think that's one of the things that I have seen as a pastor, how we jam ourselves up. And I say we. This weekend, the theme of the camping trip was something to the effect of finding your purpose, knowing your purpose. And I know a lot of people struggle with that. And I have to be honest, you know, based on the Word of God, and again, I'm going to say it just like that, based on the Word of God, if you are truly, oh, okay, thank you, unlocking your purpose. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was the theme for this weekend's camping trip that I was referring to earlier. One of the things, based on the Word of God, and I will say it again, based on the Word of God, I've heard many people who were Christians say, I don't know my purpose. And I kind of said it earlier, coming out the gate of accepting Christ in your life and understanding, you know, what Christ wants us to do, there's one thing that sits at the top of the list: disciple. And the best part about knowing God is there's so many ways to get that done. He didn't give us something to do or mandate we do something that was like one road and that was it. The camping trip was actually discipling, because they were able to get people on the camping trip that don't even go to church. And that's where God is right now. That's a huge thing that God is doing right now. He is using us, those of us who claim to be his, he's using us to draw his people in just different ways, because he understands that because of the church, people have become very disenchanted with going to church. And I'm not saying that's the only reason, but the church has played a huge part in this. And we know, you know, with COVID, you know, we lost a lot of people. Every church lost, you know, people and things like that. But God says it's not over. Until the time comes where I wrap this whole thing up, he's going to do whatever it is he's going to do to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to say yes to him. Says it in his word. And when you say, I don't know my purpose, then you've missed that particular thing, because that's at the top of the list. Go ye therefore. Make sure you're discipling. And here's the thing. Like I said a minute ago, God is just so, he's just so strategic. Your way of bringing souls to Christ and my way of bringing souls to Christ is very different. You know, this one gets to do it this way. This one gets to do it that way. You know, our church has the broadcast. You know, this is part of our ministry. We are not the traditional congregation. God uses our congregation as a support system to other churches. He made that very clear to me, because I have a group of young people that need to stretch. I have a group of young people who, and I say that from the beginning, maybe not this particular group, but overall, you know, it was young people. So you're talking about young people who are coming from a troubled past and who were sometimes were disenchanted and who had been rejected by some of them by their very parents. So having these young people who were like amazing people but didn't know how amazing they were, he used me, a creative individual, to reach out to these individuals once they were in my care to help them to see, this is how you can get this done. God wants you, and this is how you can get this done. God wants you, and then he wants you to go out and disciple, and here's how you can get this done. And I very unconventional ways in the church's eyes as to how, you know, you don't do it like that. And, you know, you got to be sitting up in the church all day and all night. You know, you can't dress a certain way, because then you're not representing Christianity. And, you know, this just the rules that the church has put in place is scary for our newcomers, because it's going to turn them off quicker than it's going to attract them. So you have to stay in tune as to how God is going to use you to get the job done. So he wants you to minister for him. He wants you to draw people for him. That's your purpose. And now the next thing you have to do is find out from God how you are going to get that done. Now, that's just the basic. That's just your basic purpose here on earth. So when we were talking Sabbath about unlocking your purpose, and, you know, everyone was sharing, you know, people were sharing, and it was very interesting to see and hear, you know, what the take was and how people were getting that done and what you thought your purpose was and how you were going about just carrying out and fulfilling your purpose. Because we all have one. And like I said, if we haven't figured out, you know, our greater purpose, we all have our basic purpose before us. So if you're not doing that, that's where you get started. Because once you start doing that, I promise you he'll open up some other doors and awareness as to how to get this done for you. So Mary and John, they are both Christians, but Mary's going to do it one way and John is going to do it another way. You're not going to necessarily do it the same way. And when you look at a scenario like we just got finished going through, there is no way in the world you could serve God. No way in the world you could possibly serve God like this. You can't even get your marriage and your impulsiveness together. There's no way in the world you would set your husband up for failure, because that's exactly what's happening. For argument's sake, if he was out there cheating, I'm going to set my husband up for failure. I'm going to put him in the mouth of the lion. I'm going to set my sister up for failure, because people don't tell you everything. There could be a weakness that her sister is going through. So now everyone must cater to this madness that's going on with you to satisfy your needs. Then where is God in your life? Because if there was God in your life, there would be no room at all for this, because you would be too busy ministering to your husband. You would be too busy ministering to your sister. You would be too busy ministering to your mother. But you can't do that when you're distracted. You can't do that when your focus is off. You cannot do that when you are on your own agenda. And this is clearly someone who is on her own agenda. There is no way we serve God when we are on our own agenda. So put yourself, you fill in the blank. Are you self-serving? Are you serving your own agenda? And is God happy with what you're doing? Because can I promise you, results will always tell you whether you're doing something right or not. When it's just consistently failing, you better think about that thing. It just may not be the thing you need to do. So clearly, when you didn't lost your sister and your husband, pretty much, that ain't the thing to do. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us with the conversation. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss your opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Until then, I love you.